back in 1 Timothy. First of all, though, I'd like to... Is it too loud? Or just say something about some of the hymns. And one of the hymn writers, we know, it's been said that Charles Wesley wrote 7,000 hymns. Of those 7,000 hymns, 5,000 of them discuss the coming of the Lord, coming back. So through the ages, people have been waiting for the Lord to come back. And we can't know exactly, we know from the Bible, when the Lord's going to come back. But he did say certain things were going to happen. Some of these things are very surprising and outward signs, at least in, I know in, like when I first became a Christian about 1975-ish, six, there was a whole, in the evangelical movement, everybody was saying the Lord had to come back within 40 years, you know, because that was the establishment of Israel and so forth. Everyone was excited about it. But I think now, at least in our lifetime, I think there's more outward signs of what the Lord talked about. Wars and rumors of wars. This past couple of weeks, we found out that you can take, they can take pagers and put bombs in them. So you might want to, our cell phones could have bombs in them. It's not so crazy anymore. We live in a world which is really crazy. I mean, how do they get them into the hands of those people? Who knows? I don't know. Probably gave them away. But so it's a crazy time that we live in. And I don't know. I didn't read all the details of the article, but I saw the headline that Israel was fighting a war on five different fronts now. I don't know what those five fronts are, but I know at least two of them. But there's a lot of things going on just with them. We know there's Russia and Ukraine is going on, and the whole world is a powder keg right now. What about the fact that the Lord says lawlessness will increase, and they'll actually make an effort to change the times and the seasons. They never can, but the effort is being made, and we can go into details on that. We've gone over them before, but you know, it's pretty kind of crazy time. Men will be lovers of self, and is that ever something? You know, every man, woman, and child is being preached a gospel in America. Sorry to target America, but it's it goes throughout the whole world. And that's this. Every man, woman, and child can do whatever is right in their own eyes. You can make your own reality. And we know it's really scary sometimes, to think about the young people nowadays. We're not being brought up in the same way and in the same generation. In the cyber world, you can make your own reality. I think in many ways it's very satanic. But what I want, the reason I'm mentioning that is because I'll briefly read from Luke 12. 37 says this. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Now, Ed Miller, a couple years ago, spoke on this verse at the conference about how the Lord's the servant. Now, this is interesting in context, though. The Lord wants us to be watching. So I'm just saying this in context of what we're going to be reading today. Because I'm going to give you the title of the message right away. Jan, can't ask me during the week. So the title of the message is Be an Example. That's a little bit of a different message, but you know, we're just going through the Word of God, and that's what I see here of what is being said in the book of Timothy. So let's go to Timothy chapter 4. And we're just going to do these four or five verses here in Timothy, starting with verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but, here's the title, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you that was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Lord, we thank you today that we're really are a little flock, but we're part of a big house, Lord. A great testimony, Lord, in the heavens and in the earth of those who love you, Lord. You've given us love, and you've laid down your life for us, as these songs all talked about this morning, Lord. We're able to celebrate the table now, Lord. We want to celebrate your word. We pray that you come through clearly. You help me, you help us in hearing and responding, Lord. So we commit this word to you in Jesus' name. So the first word here is in verse 12. Let no one despise your youth. Now we can deduct from the scripture that Timothy at this point, you know, he's now gone back. They've had the Apostle Paul there at Ephesus. And now Timothy is being given charge of the church at Ephesus. And Timothy is not like, don't think of him now as 20 years old. He's probably somewhere 30 to 40 years old, with a lot of people that were probably like our age. You know, he was kind of taking over the church. And I just, by way of reminder, the name Timothy is good to remember. Maybe you can, if you come across a Timothy that's not sure what his name means, we can tell him. And it means one who honors God. That's a good name, Timothy. And we know that he had his faith, came first through his grandmother, right? It says in the scripture in 2 Timothy. And his grandmother's name was Lois, and his mother's name was Eunice. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10, now listen, this is to this verse. It really goes along, I believe, well with this verse 12. It says, and if Timothy comes, now Paul's talking to the Corinthians about Timothy, and he says, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him because of his youth, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. So let no one despise him. He's writing to the Corinthians. Now, that he may be with you without fear. Now, there's some that, based on this scripture, some people believe that Timothy was kind of a fearful type. I don't know if we can take this from you. He's probably more fearful because he was a young person, younger than he is now, going to the Corinthians. And also, it's hard to follow in Paul's footsteps, so to speak, right? I mean, it's hard to follow. I mean, like anybody that speaks up here, it's hard to follow in Floyd's footsteps, you could say, right? Because they're always going to compare you to one of the founders of the church, so to speak. So, but here, there's a change. If you look carefully, what happens, and we're back in verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, let no one despise your youth. So the first case, he's telling the saints to not despise Timothy in his youth. Now he's a little older. He's probably somewhere between 30, closer to 40, what most people think. And he's saying, as a leader in the church, don't let this attitude creep in where people despise you. Now, I don't know why this had to be given to him, because I think we have the opposite problem in America. Maybe we need that problem a little more that was in the early church. They were probably looking at things critically. Today, I think if I was going to say one thing about many, not here, because I think we kind of more resemble this church, but in a lot of places, the pastor's everything. And they kind of have a pastor worship system, is what I call it. And here's what I mean, is if you come across a Christian and they're not talking about the Lord and they're not talking about the Word of God, and you come across them and they only want to talk about their pastor, I consider that a form of worship, something that's not right. But this is what now Timothy's is being told to don't allow that attitude to settle into the church. And here's how you don't allow that to settle into the church. This is how you deal with situations when they're kind of going south. If you're going to be a true leader, be an example. Be an example to the to these believers, these older believers in particular. And this is how you do it: in word, in conduct, and in love. Be an example. Now, I'd just like to say, and I've said it before, that when I first became a believer, my parents were really relieved because they saw a change in behavior, some change. Can pretend that all happens overnight. But then they felt that the relief turned to fear, because I was preaching, and I'm kind of a little bit of an exhorter. You've been able to tell that on how I preach, but I kind of told them that if you don't turn, you're going to burn, basically, and end up in hell. You have a little time to make this decision. Now, actually, it worked out good, because my dad did have a little time to make that decision. He did make that decision. In God's mercy, a lot of mercy. But the gospel changes a person. Here's the proof that you belong to Jesus. Well, first of all, you're in these chairs after many years. Second of all, you can say, the Lord has changed my life. I'm not the same person I was the day I met Jesus. Now, that joy, hopefully we have that same joy that we had then, but incrementally, precept by precept, line upon line, he's changing our lives. Thank God for the blood of Christ. As we're going to hear a message like this, we got to keep that in mind, because there's no other way. And there's something else that speaks. It says in word, in conduct, and in love. And I'll just kind of reverse the order, speak about love first. What is another thing that Jesus says, all men will know you belong to me by what way? You have love for one another. See, God shed that love. That's such a mercy. God, I don't know how to explain it. All I know is to say what the Bible says. And the Bible says he put the love of God in our hearts. And somehow he finds, as we meet together, the ability to express that to one another. Have genuine love. A genuine love of the brethren. A supernatural love. A love you could never have naturally. Who has not sensed that? God's drawn near to us. You're with a person. The love can be for an unbeliever too. But the love we have for one another. God touches us with his love. We're never quite the same. We can go on and even go way south, way off into sin, into a far country, so to speak. But when we've been touched with the love of God, It's powerful. It's able to keep us. And it's a great testimony to the world, because what does the world need now? They want love, and they don't have love. It's only found in the heart of a Christian. Now, that's something we have to stand on by faith. There's a line there in that thing, White as Snow, that song, and that's the title to it, but it said, by faith I can be made white as snow. Now, what's that faith in? Is that faith in ourselves? No, that's faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. That's the love of God. God, while we were yet sinners, he laid down our lives for us and continues to be lay down his life for us, and will lay down his life for us. That's a mystery to me, that verse there in Luke that we read to begin with. But, you know, in word, backtrack to that word, in word, be an example in word. Now, we know that this saying, and we've heard many say it, maybe we've said it ourselves, do as I say, not as I do. Usually said to children, because you don't want them to be doing things that you could be doing. But Jesus said this about the Pharisees. He said inwardly they were not who they proclaimed to be, but outwardly they're telling you the right thing. So do as they say, not as they do, is what Jesus said. But what Paul is saying to Timothy, if you're going to have a church that's successful, don't make promises you can't keep. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't make there's only one person that can make promises and hold them all. That's God. God made promises. This book of Deuteronomy that we're going through on Friday night is just phenomenal. It's like it's being rediscovered. Tom Pike did it last Friday, and he said, it's my new favorite book of the Bible. It's an amazing book. We're going to reference it just a little bit, but so unfortunately, in the Christian life, and it applies to all of us, our conduct doesn't always match up with the words. But that's not what we know the Holy Spirit wants. We know what God wants for our lives, because God, when God comes back, I can guarantee he wants us all to be following him. That's much I can guarantee. Now, we all belong to him, those who have faith in Christ, but he also wants us to be walking with him when he comes back, not being lazy, so to speak. So there's a lot of examples in the Bible of people that have failed and been restored. We could just think of it. I mean, from David and Solomon and many others. What about Judah? You know, what about many that are in the line of the faith? I mean, it's all of us are like that in a certain way. But there's also examples in the Word of God of people that just say no. Joseph, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, many people are examples of people that realize they have to take a stand. And I think what I'm saying here today as we're going through this section, I think what Paul is telling Timothy is time to take a stand. Let your conduct shine. Let your light shine so before men. It's not just the words. You're going to have the conduct which backs up the words, is what he's telling Timothy, and really what God tells us all, I believe. But the word, I think, especially as it relates to doctrine, which we're going to go into in verse 13 here a little bit, also relates to the Word of God. I want to speak about that. Now, I said last time, I think the greatest verse in 1 Timothy for me is 3:16. But there's another 3:16, and that's in 2 Timothy, another great scripture. It says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. There it is. This is a word repeated in 1 Timothy. For reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. We'll go on to verse 17. Excuse me. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we know in the book of James it says to be careful hearers of the word, but what else? Doers of the word. Let's go to another 3:16, believe it or not. That's 1 Peter 3:16. Making it easy for you guys to remember. Let's read 15, start with 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. And again, 1 Peter, and I'm relating the word of God now to the love of God too. 1 Peter 4, 8. Just turn to there. Let's read 7 again because it has to do with the opening. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So this idea again of the word and of love. Now, if you're going to be a minister or a leader in the church, you're going to hear some horrific things, unfortunately. Certain things I wish I'd never even heard. But disappointing things. But what Peter says and what Paul is saying to Timothy is love covers a multitude of sins. Love and mercy are tied at the hip, is the way I would put it. And if we're going to be effective ministers of the gospel, we have to have a lot of mercy to those on the outside and those on the inside too, because any of us can lose the way. You know, all we have to do is think we have everything going so well. Who is the person that did that in the New Testament? You know, said, I love you better, more than all the rest of these guys. I'm going to follow you when they all go fall away. And what happened then? He's one of the first to fall away. So any of us can fall away. And we need to be there for one another. So these three words, the first one we went over. Word, conduct, and love. And putting love again above all here. Because it's, you know, I'm paraphrasing now, and you guys have mercy on me in that. I don't always maybe do it, but you guys can go look at the scripture. In James, it says, is that if you have a willingness to be merciful and to love and to restore a brother or sister that have fallen, you are protecting your own soul. I'm paraphrasing now. But it's a very important thing. But back to these three words, in word, in conduct, and in love, being an example. These three words, actually six words, really helped me this week to meditate and just kind of stand on the word of God. I don't know if you call it acronyms, but I just took these three words, WCL, word, conduct, and love, and then into the next three words that he goes into here in verse 12, spirit, faith, and purity. I was saying SFP, I was able to memorize these six in a row. Now he's talking about it, we're going to move to spirit. He's talking about the human spirit being transformed. Now, Only the Spirit of God does that. And that really happens with the born-again Christian. It can happen to some extent with a person who's seeking, but I think it'll just lead them to the Lord. If they're really seeking and want to do God's will, they'll come to Him. But I find one of the more difficult things is just taking God at His word and standing on it. Over the events of life, over what I think I know about the Bible or anything else, it's just saying, well, you know what? Maybe this doesn't jive with everything in my life, but this is what God's proclaiming. So I'm just going to stay on this. I'm going to have faith, like we talked about that song, that the blood of Christ makes me clean. I'm going to just have faith in what God says. And what God says, right, He keeps His promises. Now, we've mentioned this one before, but Jesus keeps it simple. Talking about the Spirit coming out of our life, He just says it this way: He who believes in Me, out of an innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's a fact of the Christian life. Just believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can stand upon that when all the fury of hell comes against us. He's died for us. He rose from the dead for us. We died with Him. We're risen with Him, but His Spirit actually flows out of us. Now, that seems real basic, but when we come across all the trials of life, isn't it good to be able to come back to the basics of what God's done and who God is and what who He proclaims you to be? And isn't that good to be able to declare that to your brothers and your sisters? That this truth is real. You might not feel real. You might feel the very opposite. You might feel the opposite desires of every way. In fact, the devil is going to try to trick you that way. Your flesh is going to try to trick you. But this is the truth of what God says. Now, this is very important. After spirit, it says faith. We have to have faith, is what I'm saying, to stand upon God's word, to believe what He said. And we came across, and I'm going to go across what we came across Friday night in the book of Deuteronomy, because I just see the same thing that Moses is telling the children of Israel before his departure, which our brother Sonny read out of chapter 10 this morning, which is a good intro. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. Now this is the picture. This is what Moses is telling the children of Israel before they go into the land, kind of like his parting words. And it's a long parting word. It goes many different chapters, still going on in chapter 10. This is what he said to them. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all of Egypt. Remember what the Lord did. Remember it was the Lord that brought you out, as it says in chapter 6, I believe. He brought us out. You guys can even say it. Why did He bring us out? To bring us in to Christ. He brought us out that He might bring us in. It's a wonderful thing. So, how I'm going to apply this back to, let's go back here to 1 Timothy, if you can follow the thread. In faith and in purity. Now, purity, he's writing to a young man. Most likely we don't see, like many of the others We don't see his name listed as being married. He was most likely not married, but he could have been. But in that Greek age, as it is today, it was an immoral society. And I hate to even say this, but I really believe we're an adulterous generation, so to speak. The whole world's gone crazy. I mean, you can't watch the Super Bowl without turning it off at halftime, because you just know whatever they're going to have on there is insane. And you surely shouldn't, we shouldn't be watching it ourselves, not to mention, you know, kids. But so I don't know what to say, except we live in an overtly over-sexualized society now. Can I say that? I believe it's true. Oh boy, I could go into a lot of examples. I guess it doesn't, you just know what I'm saying is true. So what I'm saying is how can a young man, an old man, any man or woman, you know, it used to be, and we've mentioned this before, it used to be that you would be scared of young women with teachers or that kind of thing. You know what the trend is now? The opposite. The whole world's insane, turned upside down. So how can we keep ourselves pure today? You know what my answer is? Impossible. You're probably laughing. I mean impossible. That's why I read from Deuteronomy there. How are you going to dispossess the land, the monsters in the land, so to speak? How are you going to do it? There's only one way, by faith. And it's the life, we had it mentioned in a prayer, it's the life of Jesus that overcomes. No other way. Now, it might be purity. It might be some other problem that is a problem to one person and not to another. But there's only one way we're going to dispossess something that's bigger than us. And the Lord does want us to dispossess it. It's by standing on the Lord, our relationship with Him, and letting Him dispossess it, letting Him serve us, so to speak. And that's how we need to be praying. Oh, you know, we're praying for the kids and the grandkids. Not that they would not get stained by the world, because I think it's practically impossible now. But that they would realize and know that Jesus is their only deliverance. Now, that's a good thing. That's how we can pray. I think we're beating the air if we just say, oh, we don't want them to see such and such and so forth, that's so rampant. They're going to be exposed to this stuff. I don't care if they're homeschooled. You know, somewhere, somehow, someplace, unfortunately. You know, another way to put it, when this whole generation that didn't know war, and Joshua and those people had conquered the different cities, you know what God said? God said, we need to let some of the enemies remain so that they learn how to fight. And we need to learn how to fight. And that's how we need, as Christians, to learn how to fight. We have the blood of Jesus. And there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That's all true. But we still need to learn how to fight. God allows enemies to remain in every person's life, I believe, as a believer, so that we would learn how to fight, to put on the full armor of God, to let God fight. Because God's the overcomer. Guess what? I can tell you right here now, with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul, I'm not an overcomer. Now that might sound crazy, but God's the overcomer in me. That's the only overcomer there is. It's trusting in God. It's having faith in God. It's having faith in His blood. It's having faith that the love of God is in your heart. Having faith in what God said, that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's His life. It's not our life. It's not we just clean up our lives and now we're just going to be a great example to everybody. No, all the only life we can show forth is the life of Christ. And that's quite a life. That's quite a testimony to the world. I had a couple of friends that were Christians in school. You know, the Lord has, before I was a believer. And they started a surfboard company after they became Christians. And they named, I still can remember the logo. You can still see some of their surfboards on eBay. And then after they became Christians, the name of their surfboard company was Clear Spirit. Their lives were touched by the Lord Jesus. As it is now, back then it was a very impure time. Everything was going in the late 60s and the early 70s, you know, free love, so to speak. But they were touched by God's Spirit. Now, the one that I know well, I know he's still walking with the Lord, close to the Lord. Pretty amazing. Okay, let's move on to verse 13. Till I come again, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. In other words, the reading of God's word publicly. You know what is far better than my words that we're going on? Is the word of God. And the fact that we're reading it, though, is powerful. Because there's power in the word of God. Greg referenced that last week in the ministry, that it's powerful, it's alive, it's living. And because it's alive and living, we shouldn't be as scared to share it with whoever we come across. Now, sometimes you can do it covertly. They don't need to know about it. Maybe God just touches our heart and says, you know what? Give them a principle from the word of God, the exact words. Maybe another time, God wants you to say, you know, 1 Timothy 3:16 says this. Did you know that? So there's a time and a place, but it's the word of God regardless. And it's effective and it doesn't come back void. So what Paul is telling Timothy, don't get swayed. Stay right on the course. In Acts 20:27, and we referenced that in my last time, it says Paul, when he was getting ready to leave, said he did not shun to give God's people the whole word of God. And that's why I'm trying to go through a book by book, because there's certain things we're going to preach as we go through them, instead of just, for me, just a cherry picking. Certain ideas. For me, that's just, I'd prefer to do it through the Bible. But here's the other word here in verse 13, exhortation. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to listen to any preacher that doesn't exhort, doesn't encourage, doesn't implore God's people. That's what he's saying. He said, you've got to implore God's people. You've got to speak the words of life to them. You've got to have a life that is backed up in conduct, but exhort, preach the word of God. Somebody that just gets up and just talks about nothing but God loves you. Now that's true, and that's very wonderful. We have an expression of this every Sunday in the table. But I'm not interested. I'm interested in somebody that does the whole counsel of the Word of God. Because not something that everyone wants to hear always. Let's be honest with ourselves. When you pick up that Bible in the morning, I know most of you do, sometimes that thing cuts you to death. Is it just me? I don't think so. I think the way that's how God did it. It's God's Spirit that speaks. But it takes some exhortation. In essence, what Paul is telling Timothy is don't hold back. Let them have all the guns, the truth of the gospel. And always comes back to the gospel. The fact that Jesus died for us is the greatest thing that's ever happened to mankind. The fact that he rose from the dead, the fact that he intercedes for his people, all the truth of the gospel, everything, all the preaching of the Word of God has to be centralized on the gospel of the Lord Jesus. If it's not, then we're off the mark. And I think you guys would straighten us out, so to speak. Let's move on to verse 14. We're almost finished. Now, this is an unusual verse. It says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Now, I don't think this is the way it's coming out in the New King James is not exactly what's meant here. In fact, J. Vernon McGee said this, the only thing that was ever given to anybody by the laying on of hands was germs. Now, what do we mean? Well, we know the Spirit gives the gifts. But I think what he's saying is the elders laid hands on you and prophetically proclaimed what God already put in you. What your grandmother taught you, what your mother taught you, the faith that was in them is in you, and you're gifted in the scriptures from your youth. You know, there's people like that. They're just gifted in the scriptures from their youth. Believe it or not, I believe my wayward son is gifted in the scriptures from his youth. So that's partially why I think he's out there wayward. But we've done this. We lay hands on people, and I think it's a good practice when people are sick, when people are sent out. I think every time somebody's sent out on any kind of mission, especially from here, we should lay hands on them and pray for them. Maybe we should do this when we go to Mexico for Lynette and DJ. I don't know. I was reading over this, I'm wondering about that. But he was gifted, Timothy is, and thank God for gifted men and women in the scripture through the ages. Because we wouldn't even be standing here if it wasn't for that, of people sharing the word of God. So go on to verse 15. Meditate on these things. The Greek word, and Greg would be better at pronouncing this to me than me, is melateo, it says, which means meditate. Meditate on these things. And again, I'll just say these words, meditating on this, these words, WCL, this is how I did it, SFP. That helped me a lot this week. I realized that these concepts can help us in practical everyday living. That's why I wanted us to sing, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 16. Take heed yourself unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now that's another strange verse. It would appear to be strange. Continue in the word, basically, in the entire counsel of the word of God, you'll save yourself and those who hear you. Now, I'm going to say, our brother Paul Harlan's with the Lord in paradise. We've got to make sure we know where he is. Paradise, that'd be a fun place to be, right? Lee's there. I mean, we could just name person after person. But Paul, one of his favorite verses, I heard him say it through the years many different times, is Philippians 2:12. Is this one. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You remember Paul saying that verse? Multiple times he would bring that verse up. See, this is an unusual thing. We have been saved, which you know, past tense. It's good to remember it. We are being saved from this world now. This is what we're preaching today. And we will be saved, future tense. And I'll tell you one thing about that future tense, being saved when we meet, when we get up there, so to speak. There's only one thing we're going to stand on, not our good conduct, although that's important, we're saying, in the house of God. It's only the blood of Jesus. That's going to be our only defense. It's not because we did this, that, and the other, but he wants us to be watching. Now, what is this idea about saving yourself? Well, I think this is what it is. Floyd came to me many years ago when he was doing the Friday night out there in Pasadena. I don't know if he threw the Bible. Floyd did some unusual things sometimes, but he did something strange, and he said, "You're doing the Bible study next week." I said, "Whoop." You know, I started, I went, "What do you mean? I'm not ready. I'm not, blah, 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 blah." And he goes, "No, you're doing the Bible study next week." And I said, "Okay." So I said, I studied and I did that. Now, Floyd, for some reason, had asked me to do that. But I think there, all I can say is that as Bob Myers goes through the Word of God, prepares to bring the Word to you, guess who's one of the biggest beneficiaries? Myself. That's what he's saying to Timothy. You need to stay in the Word. You need to have a consistent life behind your words, and it's going to transform your life and the life of those that hear you. Very important. Now, this applies to all of us. Not everyone's, you know, going to be preaching. In fact, one of the mistakes we can make is just thinking anyone can do it. And just, because you know what, in the church sometime, oh boy, here I go. I could get in a little bit of trouble here, but it's always harder to ask somebody to not do something once you've asked them to do something. So these things should always be done with prayer. It's just the way life is. But I think this verse, this section is, Paul in essence is saying to Timothy, these are the important things. I'm going to depart soon. This is what's going to keep you in the way. This is what's going to keep you focused. And there, you know, thank God that these words are written down for us, because you almost get the sense as you go through the Bible here, it's almost like, well, it is Jesus speaking, but you know, it's almost like a red letter edition to me. Anyhow, that's how I look at it. You just feel like these are red letter, like Jesus has said all this stuff, because such practical lessons for life out of this book. I'm just amazed by it. So may God bless his word. Thank you.